again to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 113. It's been quite some time since we've done an episode. I actually think it would be a month since we last recorded something, but I could be mistaken. But we're back this week, and we're excited to talk about the WWE Survivor Series. But before we get there, let's introduce our Hulkamaniacs this week. We have Ashley.
I will find the plane, Katy Perry, and I will walk up pilot, Katy Perry, and those aboard were stupid enough to ride the plane with you, Katy Perry. I will drive that plane to the Royal Rumble, and I will take you to the ring. And you will no longer be able to avoid the power of my destructricity.
She wins.
So we're just going to skip through.
She wins. We can't top that. I don't think any of us can top
that. I got nothing. I don't have anything in the whole script today.
Tom, you want to try topping this? You want it?
I'm talking Macho Madness. Yeah, I went over that one.
Oh, God. God. And the top ultimate, the distrusticity, we get the Macho Madness. So, I can't really be a Macho Man, so I...
Elizabeth, go left, I'm going right.
Oh, my. Oh, wow.
That's really good.
That is really good, man.
I was going to say the only problem with that is Macho Man never makes any sense.
Macho Madness doesn't make sense. It's craziness in the brain.
Oh, my. There is good reason why there was a glorious sketch on YouTube involving watch this interview of Macho Man on Coke. And it's just that shit insane ever. I'm like... You know, we can't confirm if he's on coke, but there's a good chance.
Coke probably.
How do you know?
All over you.
Oh, God.
I'm going to do the whole podcast like the Macho Man. Oh, yeah. All
right, so what's the
over-under? Tom, stay snapping to a split, Jim.
That's what the over-under on when he's going to drop it.
Say it. Come on, snap to a Slim Jim. If you say it. Satisfy this. I got it. If you can do snap into a sling, you win.
Macho Man doesn't take requests from puny pipsqueaks. He'll say snap into a Slim Jim when he wants to say snap into a Slim Jim.
You win.
So, like, should I do my Sheamus impression where I just
say something
really racist in an Irish accent?
Hi, kids. This is the Survivor Series podcast.
What do you think about the black?
My impression of random wrestlers.
If by Sheamus impression you mean 5 minutes of straight racial slurs, then yes, please.
Yeah. Ending with all four. I'll be always have.
Can I do my Macho Man impression of Sheamus?
Oh my God! Please.
Sure.
Do.
At this point.
I don't have one. It was actually just going to be Macho Man saying bad words.
Oh,
I'm going to put his rap album in. And we all know how familiar I am with the Macho Man's rap album.
So anyway, Earl, can we just go around and introduce everybody like normal?
Sure. That's because God help us.
I wasn't ready for him to introduce me first. Sorry.
It's usually based on who's on my screen first. But yes, you heard Tom in the background, and I assume Wesley and Nick aren't even going to try this week.
No, I was going to make a joke about how I don't know five different languages to put everybody down, but y'all just top that.
I could have made another. I used up my Zack Ryder, your push die joke, like a couple podcasts. The last wrestling podcast, so there's nothing topping those. The Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior. Imagine they would have had them tag back in the day. Oh, God. That would have been glorious.
Didn't they?
It would have been so many streamers.
I was just going to say, yeah, it would have been Fringe. Fringe everywhere.
I thought Macho and Warrior did tag at one point.
I think it was Macho and Hogan, not Macho and Warrior. But
it was Macho and Hogan. They never did. I don't think they ever thought of having Macho and Warrior ever tagging.
That's because they saved the world from the world's most awesome promo that would have destroyed reality.
Oh yeah, my god!
That would be amazing. That promo would be like legendary in all of wrestling kind of the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man, just breaking everyone and
he
the entire
did team with the Ultimate Warrior.
You win.
You did. It was in 1991 and 1992.
They did.
Yeah. I can't find it now, but no, it's on his Wikipedia page. He totally did.
That's really good to hear.
And then what happens, they teamed, and then he was announced as the number one contender for Savage's WWF championship, and then they had a fight, and he lost by count out. So he kept the title, but lost the match.
I had no idea. That's really good to hear. Wow.
I thought I remember watching his DVD and seeing like a promo with the two of them, which was bat crap insane. But
I was gonna say I only assumed that it was a promo that made less sense than most of the promos now.
I do realize if we weren't recording right now, I'd be on YouTube right now looking up that promo.
We haven't even started on Survivor Series yet, but...
Oh, gosh. And we're in Dalek Land.
Usually I'm the person doing the Doctor Who noises into the microphone.
I have a Doctor Who cookie jar downstairs. I can always just randomly go... So we can have the hardest and the exterminate.
I have a Doctor Who haircut, but you can't see it.
Oh, you mean like this cookie jar that makes this sound?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Are we just going to be one-upping each other all night?
No, we're not.
I can one-up you both, and I'm not even a Who fan.
I love that dang cookie jar.
What, did you touch Neil Gaiman, Ashley?
Well, not this time. Last night at his talk, someone asked him about the episode of Who that he is writing. And he told us about he got lured back in because Moffat asked him to make the Cybermen great again.
Ooh.
And he said he wanted to do that. And we were actually given a casting plot detail that we are not allowed to reveal.
Ooh.
Ooh. So she's going to reveal it now.
Dear podcast listeners, this episode is now about Doctor Who. We apologize.
So, favorite Doctor, go.
The podcast.
Give me a stand up.
If you could combine two Doctors into a tag team wrestling match.
Oh. If Dolph Ziggler fought a Dalek, how hard would he sell for it?
He would sell the hell out of that.
He sells so hard. Oh, my God. So I'm assuming we're doing all this just because...
The Survivor Series card is pretty bad.
The card is actually pretty decent. It's just the build-up to it has been crap.
We should start there because I've really kind of been in and out of the WWE. Like, I watch the shows, but I don't really follow what's going on backstage. Mm-hmm. But originally, the main event was set to be Team Punk, which was CM Punk, mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, not The Miz. Who was it? No, it was The Miz.
Yeah, The Miz.
The Miz
and Cesaro?
No.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Cesaro wasn't on
No, it wasn't Cesaro. It was.
He's in the match. He's in with the Archer.
Oh.
I can't
remember. Del Rio.
Yeah.
Wow, he's supposed to be a main star. Versus Team Foley, which was Ryback, or in Kofi Kingston and Team Hell No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It will always be
now,
Team
which is now all those people plus The Miz.
Yeah. And basically, from what I understand, what happened was that people complained that the Survivor Series main event was just the last pay-per-view's main event, Hell in a Cell, put together into one super match.
By people, you mean Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And instead of that, they decided to reboot the whole thing, make a random triple threat match.
Let's focus on the fact that they made that change a week later. Like, they made a match, they built up to it, they had a storyline that was going to it, and then they just immediately said, you know what, that was a bad idea, let's do this instead. Thanks.
Which is an even worse idea, I think.
Yeah, they took a pay-per-view that already had a really short build-up time, and then just kind of kneecapped it.
And now they have even less of a build-up time to build up.
Yeah. It's pretty weird because they gave Hell in a Cell 5 weeks and they just 3 weeks. But they could have just kind of pushed this Hell in a Cell forward and given this a full month.
Yep.
You're right.
Yeah.
You think so. Yeah.
And of course, they're spending half an hour an episode on this AJ John Cena. Between single people. That isn't leading anywhere. It's not part of the main event. It's not part of John Cena's storyline. They're just doing it.
Yeah, it's
solo from TNA.
As I heard you just say, TNA.
They stole it from TNA.
They stole it. Yeah, I agree.
They had the terrible acting with it.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Yes, I mean,
as much as anything in WWE does make sense on a day-to-day basis, at least it's somewhat consistent from week to week. This one makes no sense. This is like, it's almost like Triple H is booking it.
At this point, the initials AJ are almost as offensive to me as the initials TNA.
Oh my god.
Which is a shame.
Do you know, there's...
I like her.
Yeah.
They use her terribly, constantly.
Yeah, which is kind of, I mean, if you go back, we've done a show before WrestleMania, we did a show before SummerSlam, and we were all really high on her character in that time frame.
She was awesome!
And
everything up until her being a GM was awesome, and then that just went down the hill. It went from her being, you know, an interesting character with an interesting motivation, and, you know, no real sense of where they're going with it, but, you know, you were invested, it would have been cool, and then just turned her into anonymous heel GM that they usually have, basically turning her into Vicky plus Stephanie. And then since then, I don't know what the hell they're doing with her, but it's no good.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because they still try to give her quirks, but it seems so forced and odd now instead of just coming. Because before she had somebody to play off of, and now it's kind of she's in this weird. This weird angle, and this goes back to the main event. It's like once they decided to go away from the Team Punk versus Team Foley, that meant that they had to throw John Cena in there, and they were kind of building towards Cena and Ziggler at this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And they're still kind of building towards that, but it's not happening, but you still see them interact every week because they don't want to get rid of this storyline.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yes,
I should have just switched it up and put Ziggler in a threat match instead of Ryback. I know that they are hyped on him. I know that he gets crowd reaction. And, you know, he's good to come in and do the Destroyer thing. But him in the title picture at this point, as anything other than the emergency pinch hit for John Cena, is just kind of stupid.
Yeah. I have a question. Maybe I missed this because there was a couple weeks where I either didn't watch the show because I didn't have power, or for whatever reasons, but has he actually done a promo that's been longer than 3 sentences yet?
No.
No.
Okay, because all I remember is the one where he was just like, feed me, Punk, and that was it. Except he said it with pink eye.
About it.
He said
I'm
something new. It
changes your accent. I don't know. I've had pink eye since I was a little child. So.
He said something else this week. It wasn't feed me more, but it was still kind of like a three-word chant.
I think it said hungry, hungry hippos.
But, no, he actually did have a, he had a promo, I want to say he had a promo on Main Event, where he had, like, a backstage interview.
That's not a real show.
I actually,
Ion Network, it doesn't count.
I actually, I actually like what they're doing with main event as far as like structure goes, where they tend to have like one major match. Like the first 10 minutes is like getting to know the wrestlers, backstage promos. Then the match gets like half an hour. And it's kind of like what they should be doing with the main event on Raw. Like the main, like what they do now is like, oh, they talk about it and it's hyped up, but they don't really like give you a reason why it should be important. Where main event, it's like, oh, you know, these two guys, here's their history, here's how, you know, the road. That's kind of like what they do for the pay-per-views with those packages before the matches, but on a weekly basis for these main events.
The problem with WWE is that they have, at this point, I think 8 hours of television a week that build storylines that could be done in 90 minutes. Right. But they, because the matches they put on are 3 to 4 minutes apiece, if that in some cases. Rarely do we get a 15 or 20 minute match on TV, and the storylines they're building don't go anywhere or are have no point besides, you know, basically if you watch all 8 hours of TV, I would say at least 2 to 3 of those hours are rewatching what you already watched in recaps. There's
yeah.
no
point. Yeah.
And the thing is that with the matches, it's like, yeah, sometimes you're getting 2 to 3 minute matches that you wish were going to be so much longer. And it seems like a lot of times they're like, oh, it's a long match. It's going to be Tenzai versus a clone we made of Tenzai. Because we hate you.
Tenzai versus alternate costume Tenzai for when both players want to play him, but they can't decide who wants to be him. Because that's going to happen. People playing WWE 13, they're going to be like, I want to be Tenzai, but I want to be Tenzai. You could be Tenzai Red, and you could be Tenzai Blue, and then one of you could just pretend to be A-Train.
You know, with WWE 13, I like that they have the Attitude Era, because it's given me a chance to imagine like terrible, terrible matches that you could simulate. I believe the one that I mentioned a few weeks ago on the Snarking Out Twitter was somewhere someone is using WWE 13 to make Brodus Clay fight Godfather.
If only they have Flash Funk.
I don't think I have to add that to my wish list on Amazon. I actually want that game. This is the first wrestling game I've wanted since No Mercy for the N64. So.
Which is still great.
Oh my god, that game is so amazing. That was the last thing I got. Like I'd gotten rid of my Super Nintendo and sold it to someone. I still had my N64 just for that game and for GoldenEye. They were the last things I sold when I got rid of all my old stuff.
See, I was kind of meh on WWE 13 until I saw an announcement that during the create a character, they actually have a space helmet. And somebody was trying to figure
so
out how to get
Swagger
it on
Mars?
Jack Swagger. Jack
Swagger. He hasn't been back on TV yet, has he?
No.
Yeah,
apparently there's rumors of a repackaging, but they haven't. There's no hints about what it's going to be. He's obviously not Fandango, so.
No.
Yeah. There were also rumors that he asked for his release.
Which wouldn't surprise me. He's been pretty much tragically misused since God knows when, so. They had so many opportunities when they could have turned him face or done something interesting with him, and they just let them all slip away, like tears in rain.
Yeah, and it seems it's odd because they've done it, and they seem like they're really, really, really behind.
You just did that.
I know, I'm laughing at my own joke.
Oh, wow.
I'm waiting for someone to... Why would I reference Blade Runner? I don't know. Seemed like a good idea at the time.
It always does.
That's going to be my tombstone, you know that? It seemed like a good idea at the time.
But, yeah, they were going with, what's his face? Ryback right now. He seems to be the big thing. And, I mean, it's nice that they're going for somebody new. I think most people kind of agree you'd want somebody who could wrestle and talk.
Mm-hmm.
He just has the intensity thing going for him. Because I'm sure you all remember NXT and his Yip Yip.
Oh, Skip Sheffield. Oh, the former Skip Sheffield.
What's crazy about Ryback is he's basically if Vince McMahon had the option to do a creative wrestler in real life.
Yes.
It's just everything Vince McMahon wants. He doesn't really talk a lot. He's vicious, he's big, he's ornery, he has an easy-to-remember catchphrase that people can chant like it's nobody's business, but he's still, I forget what article I was reading, it was talking about he doesn't have that, the thing. They keep trying to recreate Steve Austin and The Rock, and they're
and Goldberg.
Yeah,
and Goldberg, but none of them have, like, the charisma. Like, even John Cena has his own thing, but they keep trying to make him Hulk Hogan, and he's not Hulk Hogan.
Well, and it's like how the Divas division, such as it stands, keep holding their breath that they're going to hire a model who will be the next Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not. They're not going to get a Trish Stratus. They're not going to get a new Lita, and they just need to, you know, stop it, but Vince McMahon won't.
Unless
he's finally lost enough money.
Well, I mean, he did sink out into his wife's political campaign.
$100 million, wasn't it, that he spent on his wife?
Over two campaigns over 3 years that did not win. So
yes, I hope she stops running now. But who knows?
Well, I think she said
it was her. Yeah, and I forget. People were telling him, "So does this mean Peachy era's over?" He's like, "No, get over it."
Yeah.
No, Peachy era's it. No, it's not done yet.
I think a lot of people just caught it in their heads that the PG era was a result of her running. I'm sure it helped, but from what I understand, it was because they were using sponsors because they couldn't market to kids anymore.
Yeah, I think it was Mattel was one of the big people that came down, and they're like, hey, you need to cut it out, the dominatrixes and stuff.
Yeah, and to me, and I guess because you're really not going to talk about Survivor Series, to me, it's never been that. I don't think that PG. I don't think PG in and of itself is a bad thing. It's just that the WWE hasn't really been able to tell compelling stories, which you can do in a PG environment. The Punk stuff from last summer was a good storyline. I would say that some of the Punk stuff this year, when he started turning heel, was good stuff. Daniel Bryan. Has been knocked out of the park every week.
God.
Well, Daniel Bryan's been working with, like, it seems like they're purposefully giving him stuff and be like, oh, yeah, this will never work. And then he's just doing, like, oh, no, no, watch. I spit this straw into gold and then shove it down your throat.
Yes, because, I mean, on paper, him and Kane really shouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Kane doing comedy doesn't work that often. But it does, and just when you think it's kind of getting old, they introduce Judas Daniel Bryan.
Oh my god, that was so amazing.
That was awesome.
Like, the entire setup and then the match, like, he's just acting like he's not actively trying to hurt them, but he's totally trying to mess their match up. Just
god.
I don't like you teaming with him. I don't, no.
And it's, oh, I think it helps that, you know, Kane is usually the more extreme of the characters in a storyline, but with Daniel Bryan, like, going above and beyond Kane with the crazy, Kane has suddenly become a somewhat sane one in this situation. The guy who lit Jim Ross on fire is the sane one.
Yeah, well, that's what's weird, is that in the past ever, since we did our last podcast, he's become the same one. With the whole AJ situation, he was the one who was just like, yeah, I want no part of this, guys. I'm out.
I'm out. Bye.
Yeah, and it's so weird because, I mean, it was also awesome seeing Kane give his WWE history.
Oh my god, that was insane.
And just the screwed up stuff.
They realized this was going to work. Like, that was the turning point in it.
Yeah, and the way he's evolved the yes chance and the no chance and the goat face chance and everything else, and I'm the tag team champion.
Daniel Bryan's had more chance in a short period of time than most people can get in their entire careers in the WWE, for goodness sake.
And the fact that he continues to react to them so well is part of what is it. Like, the goat face thing could have been so incredibly... It could have been the new Lance Storm boring chant. But instead, the way he has played it up has made it, you know...
He's not a goat face. He's handsome.
He's the world's strongest vegan.
He is the tag team champion.
Wait, what, it wasn't the world's strongest vegan, was it?
I don't remember.
But yeah, he said that on SmackDown. Wait, man, wow. Because he's like saying it, and Kane looks at him like, what the hell are you talking about?
Sometimes I like to imagine that he challenges himself when he's in the ring with Kane to try and get Kane to visibly laugh under the mask.
Oh, I'm sure he's doing it. Like, I'm sure that they're both trying to make the other one laugh.
Well,
I forget, there was some match where someone pointed out says that there was obviously some match where they were obviously doing their best to make the other one laugh.
Well, the whole Hug It Out skit where they had to keep cutting away from Daniel Bryan's face.
Yeah, that
should not have worked, but it worked.
It worked live, and then the WWE went ahead and cut it into a trailer with like, that romantic music.
Can I be the first to proclaim my disappointment that that tag team wasn't named Team Friendship?
No, yes. I said it earlier. I will always call them Team Friendship. Secondary yes. team named Team Dragonfire. Big ups to Mr. Brandon Stroud.
Yeah, copyright Brandon Stroud.
Yeah. The inventor of Road Scholars.
Yes, clearly only he could have come up with it, as he likes to put it.
And that's a good point, and I think a decent place to start. Even though the tag team titles aren't actually being defended on this show, since SummerSlam, since Daniel Bryan and Kane, Team Hell No, Team Friendship, have gotten involved in the tag team scene, it has become a major part of the weekly shows.
Yeah.
Mostly because those two characters are very entertaining. But we've seen the emergence of Team Road Scholars. I don't think Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara have a name yet.
I've heard a bunch of them. I like Car Stereo myself. that was great. But there's them. What is there? Team Cobra? Oh, God.
Team Cobra.
Only there so you can trot those two out at the same time and get that over with.
Yeah.
Get them the pop, get them out of the ring.
There's the primetime players who are baller as hell right now. Not going to lie. I love, like, I had no reaction to these guys whatsoever, and then they just really won me over with how, like,
they're
entertainingly jerky.
Was disappointed because, I mean, it looked like they were in line to win the tag team titles, and then Daniel Bryan and Kane got involved, and then they became the centerpiece of the division. Mm-hmm. So they've kind of taken a back, I mean, they're still big parts of it, but they've taken a back seat for now. But I can't really complain when it's Kane and Daniel Bryan doing their best.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And the team that hasn't got a name yet, which is odd since they're the team that's been together the longest, is Epico and Primo.
And also Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd.
Yep.
I'm really happy that those two are getting in on this because that's some of the four-way matches with the two of those guys being like, I jump here and you jump there and we both jump.
I assume
the thing is that those guys are over as hell and they never do anything with them. Like, every match they're in, they're like, so obviously just badass and just, you know, doing good stuff left, right, and the audience is into it, and they just don't do anything with them.
Apparently that tag team's name is International Airstrike.
I like that. I like
that's
that.
That's really good. That's very good. I
wonder when they're going to team up with Evan Bourne.
Evan Bourne has to stop doing drugs first.
Real drugs. He can do real drugs. He can't smoke the fake ones. And get into car accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I assume that will, because those teams right now, I think Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara aren't on the show either, are they?
No, I'm willing to bet they're going to add something, I think, probably on stage.
Yeah, I assume it's probably going to be them and Epico and Primo versus the
Prime. The 3MB are actually on the pre-show. First
yeah.
Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd.
Yeah. Oh, the 3MB.
I love the three-man band.
Such a good idea. That was cool.
They need to. I wish they pushed them a little bit more, though, because the lead up to that with Heath Slater, it was so natural to have Heath Slater just bring all these other guys in and start doing it. And they've done some like skits with them, but they haven't done much in terms of like matches and things like that.
Was it Ross? I couldn't remember if it's Ross, where they have like the behind the music and somebody asked him. He's like, "What is this?" But yeah, and
Jinder Mahal being like, "I'm the funny one."
Yeah,
it gave Jinder Mahal something to do for the first time in forever.
Okay, it made me talk about Jinder Mahal.
Yeah,
I kind of wish they would team up with Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd, and there could be like a mini Nexus reunion between Slater and Gabriel.
That would be fun. I would be.
This is just me wanting the Nexus to come back and be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to. Just because everybody, well, except for Michael Tarver,
all
apparently.
Everyone's
big.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone other than him is doing really, really well now.
What, is he still with the company? Is he injured?
No, he's not.
I don't think he's with them anymore.
He's not, and he went on a very long tirade about how John Cena personally singled him out for hatred.
Oh, Lord.
But he had Jack Cena to keep him.
Darren Young? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, Darren Young is not Michael Tarver.
I'm saying that he had Jack Cena, so Cena's not racist. He has a black friend.
God.
I like how you singled him out for hate and you went right to race, Earl.
Lord.
Speaking of John Cena friends, that has never worked out for anybody, has it?
No, John Cena's friends do not do well.
There was Evan Bourne, there was Zack Ryder.
Oh, Zack Ryder.
It's like once you become his friend, it's like a kiss of death for your career in the WWE.
Except for Eve, because Eve just turned on him before anything bad happened.
Exactly.
Eve's not coming!
Yeah, she saw that train rolling up and she's like, I'm out, guys. I'm going to take
the
championship and go
there?
Over here and be a jerk.
That guy.
Look at how far Bull Buchanan got being John Cena's friend.
Who is that?
But they brought him back for the This Is Your Life. That was like the only part in that skit that was actually entertained by.
Yeah.
But
when he came back.
That...
Mm-hmm. When he came back and he yelled at John Cena, he's like, I hate my life.
Actually, my favorite part of that was John Cena's dad, because John Cena's dad is insane.
Yes, there, like, it was the Bull Buchanan and John Cena's dad that were.
And he's not insane in the funny R-Truth, oh, look at him, he's wearing a Civil War uniform way. Which, I missed that R-Truth. That was, why can't we have that back, instead of the one who talks to an invisible little white kid.
An invisible kid that Daniel Bryan interacts with like every week.
He's the only one who does. He's like, I'm going with the mythology that Daniel Bryan is the only one who can actually see little Jimmy. Even R-Truth can't. He just assumed, he tries to make assumptions about where he is, but Daniel Bryan can actually see him.
Did he not kick him out of the ring once?
Yeah.
And the camera followed the
followed the
arc.
That was awesome.
So much better than somebody kicking a fake baby into the ring.
That was, oh Lord, the fake baby.
Punching the baby is only funny when they play the Monday Night Football music behind it.
I was watching the OMG recently, and I saw, and they put the punch the baby in the top 50 moments. Like, oh, God.
Yes. Yes, because that had the beautiful that had the beautiful edit behind it, and that was one of the two times where CM Punk was sitting there going, wait, seriously? That's on this list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
he was hilarious.
Like, if someone asks him his, like, favorite Raw moments, he says that. That's one of his favorite Raw moments in history, was when Snitsky punted the baby. CM Punk is that kind of guy. He doesn't care about, like, oh, it's your trip, the big, you know, Rock, This Is Your Life, or any of the ones that everyone brings up. He thinks the one where the dude punts a fake baby to the audience is the best. Which is why I love CM Punk.
And I actually thought they were going to have to make Punk punt a baby to get him heel heat.
Yeah, he's going to have to do that, because like, this Jerry Lawler thing.
It's freaking heel heat.
Yeah, even with the Jerry Lawler stuff, they boot him after the fact.
I think part of the problem with that is they're turning him heel against Cena, which people hate in general.
It's cool. Mm-hmm.
but yeah, that's the tag division.
So you want to talk about matches going down the card that exists as it stands right now?
Yeah, we've kind of touched on 3MB versus Tyson Kidd and Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, and then we'll just get. I think we can probably get the even Caitlyn as the one of how to have a match come out of an accidental battle royale months ago. The Caitlyn's like, oh, hey, I won.
Well, not even that. How to have that and then deal with the fact that half your demons have left or you alienated away.
Yeah.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's sign Sarah Del Rey, who's one of the best women wrestlers in the world, and then not use her.
Let's make her a trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seemed for a bit they were going to do a resurgence with it, because they have 3 hours to fill in Raw now, so everybody kind of gets more time. And we're right back to Diva matches being 2 minutes and really. They have, like, the storyline has mostly been on SmackDown, which doesn't help people because they don't recap it on Raw. So, like, the whole idea with, what was it, that I believe the story is that Eve hired Oksana to attack Kaitlyn at Night of Champions. And then Booker T was forced to put her in a Divas title match against Rhea. It's really confusing, and it's that some weird stuff have come out. Like Teddy Young owns a blonde wig and stuff like that. And,
Wait, I totally missed that part of the saga. Oh my
Seriously.
God.
That's kind of hilarious.
I want Teddy Long to tag team with Teddy Long in a blonde wig.
I also love that he came out on this week's Raw to say he had something new and groundbreaking.
Something special for y'all players.
It's a tag team. I'm like, how is that special for you?
I was writing a review of something and I almost dropped a holla 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 hold on a minute play it, and I realized that no one would understand it.
But the people who would have understood it would have lashed out loud.
I was writing about the Expendables, so there's a good chance the Venn diagram of that would probably cross over pretty well.
Now I'm just imagining Teddy Long working at McDonald's and asking the people at the drive-thru if they want to make it a tag team match with fries and a Coke.
This here's going to be a combo meal. Oh, Lord.
You want a Big Mac? Let's make it a tag team match, player.
Oh, my. Oh,
it's going to be a Big Mac and fries versus the soda and Sheamus.
I love it. And the Undertaker. That's just like in his brain, like just automatically resets to it. Somebody versus the Undertaker and Randy Orton.
And that match is going to happen tonight.
I know Brandon Stroud wrote a whole long thing about why Teddy Long is terrible in this week's Best and Worst of All, but really, Teddy Long is the worst.
I saw that, and I watched that, I'm like, why the hell, Teddy Long's here.
Yeah, because he's not, it's like you have Vicky Guerrero who's in charge of Raw, you have Booker T who's in charge of SmackDown, he's Booker T's assistant, and none of them were around, so he had to show up to make a tag team match.
Apparently.
Quick, we need
I would like to see the WWE depth chart in terms of who's in charge of what who's not around. Is there eventually some way where, like, if enough people don't show up, like, can Oksana just start Ryback just be like, hey, I want to, this is the you tag with him and we're going to do that and I'm going to eat a sandwich.
You know,
a sandwich in the ring sits on Miz's couch.
Well, I mean, it's true. Look at The Rock. He was able to come back and say he can get a title match at Royal Rumble.
That's true.
He didn't even have to earn it or anything. He's like, yeah, 6 months from now, whoever's champion, you face me. That's
it. Well, he's The Rock. He can do whatever he wants.
Yes, he can.
Yep.
I mean, not that I agree with that, but he can totally do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Listen, my movie got pushed back a lot, so I'm going to come back then. Is that cool, guys? All right.
Just move for the made him. June, it's better for me.
Well, good lord, I mean, he has like a couple movies coming up in the early part of next year. It's gonna make the promotion for WrestleMania mighty weird if they're gonna do what they're planning on doing. So,
well, it's hard to say now because it does seem like they are trying to mix it up, because it seems like they're trying to get the title off of Punk at Survivor Series.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, I think he's going to go 365 days and introduce the new belt on Raw.
Yeah, they've been pushing this 360, this like how many days he's had the title thing way too hard. It would be super, super anticlimactic to take it away from him one day before it's a year.
We are talking about the same company, though, who put $1 million contract on the line for someone to beat Ryback and then let him get no offense and get beat by Ryback.
Yeah, that was,
yeah, that
so
was
weird.
Really bad. That was really bad.
And along those lines, we're also talking about the company that decided to award $1 million contract to Daniel Huter.
Okay.
Does anybody remember that?
I remember.
For reminding me,
I remember that because he's in the in like the Royal Rumble match, and he comes in and it's like Hardcore Holly and someone, and I think Fit Finley, and they just spend like 3 minutes tanning him with chops and stuff. His chest is like red. They don't throw him out. They just continue abusing this guy for the entire duration before tossing him out.
You can't spell Daniel Pewter without P U. Am I right, guys?
I get it.
But seriously, let's talk about Maven.
Hey, Maven, that's stronger. He got to eliminate the Undertaker in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that worked out well for
Maven
him.
Maven got at least a tiny bit of time in there.
Yeah.
Maven and Nydia, they had a pretty good haul.
I don't recognize it. Those are words I understand, but how do they go together? I don't know.
They were both on Tough Enough, but realistically, if we're talking about Nydia, the only pairing with Nydia that's worth talking about is Nydia and Jamie Noble.
Yes, they were awesome together as white trash.
If you remember that from back then.
Yeah.
They were the red lovers.
That was,
yeah.
Yes, so I remember that.
And then there was Jackie Gator.
And I think at one point, Jamie Noble offered the Basham brothers to make out with his girlfriend in the ring.
Yeah, it was Shaniqua.
Oh, my.
Shaniqua, what?
Whoa.
Shaniqua was one of the Tough Enough winners, and then she ended up getting a boob job, walking the Bashams to the ring, and she never actually wrestled a match, I don't think.
You're right. I forgot about that. You're absolutely right. I do remember her now, and yeah, I miss the Bashams. I don't miss Shaniqua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it Josh Matthews is a Tough Enough veteran as well, right?
Yeah,
but he was like the worst thing you could do in Tough Enough was win.
Apparently.
Was the Miz a winner or?
Because what about Silent Rage?
Silent Roid Rage.
I forgot about him.
I forgot about
him.
He's gone. Andy Levine or something like that. Like Andy Silent Rage Levine or whatever. Like he won Tough Enough last year.
Oh yeah, that
he got fired.
He basically showed up on TV. Stone Cold Steve Austin said, "This is Andy Silent Rage Levine," and they fired him 6 months later without him ever even appearing on TV or competing in a match.
Nope.
They did like one more video pack with him.
Yeah.
They did a couple video packs with him.
And apparently he at least, I think it was at least once, got wellnessed. And it's you know, one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're expendable. Bye.
Yeah, and I don't even think he should have been the one who won, but that's a whole different discussion. But yeah, I completely forgot about him.
That's a memory.
There are so many wonderful people in wrestling that are just vacant ghost memories of things that almost happened, and it's amazing. I love wrestling's history of terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mordecai. Who had one
match. Oh my god!
Oh, Mordecai! Yes.
And I remember him complaining because he was like, you know, if the WWE was smart, he could have been a big star because vampires were all in now.
No.
Well, that was when he as Kevin Thorne, but back, like, he was billed as the anti-Undertaker. Like, he was billed as an angel. Just all in white, super long hair.
Oh, yeah.
Why did I
just
that was glorious.
Oh, and
horrible.
One of my not watching wrestling periods. That's amazing.
Oh, that was
yeah,
so
I saw a bit of that.
Oh. Well, I will say this much for The Undertaker. He has gone through a lot of crappy antagonists, and yet somehow he has survived it all. I mean, who can forget Giant Gonzalez?
I was just thinking Giant Gonzalez. it's like crappy antagonist, Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah, Giant Gonzalez, the Great Khali.
Giant Khali.
I mean, the sad thing is the Great Khali still exists.
Don't forget that great WrestleMania match where he teamed with Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones, who was so...
I was about to bring up Nathan Jones.
The
yeah.
Colossus of Fargo Road.
Who was so bad that they had to get rid of him at the start of the pay-per-view so he wouldn't wrestle.
Yeah, they had to beat him up and then have him at the end and hit his pussy kick of doom on somebody.
Which he missed by like a mile.
How long did Nathan Jones last? Like five... It was like 5 minutes and you're like, oh... He was a thing.
Well, it was like a very delayed Shockmaster reaction. They got,
oh, God.
Got him to the ring, but then then it was when he tripped and the mask fell off. Oh,
yeah.
You know.
Nathan Jones was a ridiculous experiment because his promos were unreal. Like, I mean, you were just like, I cannot wait to see this guy murder people. And then he comes in the ring and he falls down a lot and he has a terrible finisher and he can't speak. And then for some reason, I guess because they paid him $1 million, they put him in a WrestleMania match and then fired him because he was easily in my mind the biggest letdown from how they build him to what he actually became. I can't think of anyone who has been hyped that heavily and with that much. With that much behind his debut, that they just completely gave up on that fast and didn't even let him do anything.
I could name one. Tenzai.
But I was going to say Brodus Clay.
Rocket!
The Mania match, and Tenzai didn't get a team with The Undertaker. Like, yeah, he got thrust in the main event against John Cena in his first 2 weeks, and then he went back to nothing. But, like, we're talking about someone who is put on a card at WrestleMania with the streak. Like, not against him, but, like, in a solid part of a card of WrestleMania.
And he's also the reason The Undertaker continues to push for one-on-one matches at WrestleMania from now on.
Yeah.
I forget who he...
Oh, God.
Internet in front of you. Who did Nathan Jones and The Undertaker beat? Was it Big Show and Taz?
No, Big Show and Albert.
Albert, okay.
Tenzai.
And it all comes full circle, kids. By the way, another person they actually had a push that they tried. They actually, I remember Brockus. That's how I mentioned him when we were talking. Like freaking Brockus. I remember they had all these video packages for him.
Who?
Then he had like one match, and then
I don't know this name.
I don't know.
It was like he was like a German strongman that they did these big promos for. Like, I am Brockus. I am Tadav or some crap like that. And then he had like one match and then, he's gone. Never used him again.
Imagine if Ryback couldn't work.
Yeah, I swear, I'm like, the only reason why I remember this is one day I was going through YouTube footage and I stumbled upon that promo and I went, oh God, I remember that guy.
Just because you said the German muscular guy, now I'm thinking of the time that John Heidenreich was a member of the Road Warriors.
Oh, God!
Heidenreich.
By the way, I read that book, the Road Warriors book, and it's a fairly glorious experience. it's funny to see Animal just go, but by the time he was done, it's like, they had me back in my old Road Warrior gimmick from, like, the early 80s. I knew I had to end when I was in the jean shirt and Village People sunglasses. That I think I need to end this.
I have a question. Heidenreich basically raped Michael Cole, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why it's that and the poetry. That's all the reason I remember that guy.
Yeah. When he
then he became a Road Warrior. So
wow.
So I remember. The WrestleMania 21, I think it was, they had put Heidenreich Snitsky.
That's a team for the ages.
Yeah, they were supposed to.
I remember sitting there watching WrestleMania, and like, you know, they didn't tell those two. They gave them bad directions. You know that, right? Just so they wouldn't show up. And we're imagining a conversation between the two of them in the car. And like, Snitsky sitting there, and he's like, this is not my fault.
Yeah, because I think the original idea was for it to be Snitsky and Heidenreich versus Undertaker and Kane at that WrestleMania. And I think it was one of those things where Undertaker again pushed for a solo match, and he ended up fighting Mark Henry.
I don't even think he pushed for a solo match. I think he just said no. Because I think when you're the Undertaker at this point, you just say no.
I can't imagine not them like doing that. I can imagine them actually being at the arena but getting lost backstage like Spinal Tap.
That reminds me of that Jericho skit where he's trying to find the entrance in like Nitro.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Didn't him and Christian do that too? Him and Christian did something like that. And they were teaming up.
See, the one I remember with Jericho and Christian is when their clothing got stolen by the Dudley Boys, and they were running around in just the towels.
That was fantastic.
Ass cream?
What in the hell? Man, I miss Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
I know he was just back and just left, but I miss him again already.
I don't think he's in any hurry to come back either. I think he was really, because he called into the All Wrestling show, which comes on after the pay-per-views, and he was really upset with the WWE over the Punk and Ryback stuff because a lot of people, you know, going into Hell in a Cell, a lot of people were like, they wanted Ryback to win because it's something new, it's something different. He's undefeated, he has that intensity, he has the fans behind him, and it was in an awkward position because, like you said, they want to keep the belt on Punk. They're trying to go for Punk Rock at Royal Rumble. But there was like so much behind Ryback that people thought. I mean, they found a way to kind of get it with the referee angle, which, as you folks said, went nowhere this week.
Yeah, I think out of all the choices they had of how to end that match and keep it going without Punk losing the title, they picked like the dumbest. Because they didn't want to waste one of Brock Lesnar's days on his contract. Like, that would have made the perfect amount of sense.
Yes.
I think he only has, like, 25 or 30 days in his entire...
they don't want to have the WrestleMania 20th again, where they ran out of days for Goldberg, and they had nobody to build their WrestleMania match with, so...
Or they could just pay him more money instead of dropping millions of dollars on Linda's friggin' campaign.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have just run Brock Lesnar instead of Linda, and...
Heard Brock speak? I don't know if
you... Oh my god, Brock Lesnar's campaign speeches would be legendary.
Oh, what?
And he would just drop like Jimmy John's promo stuff all throughout it. He'd just be like endorsed by Jimmy John's and then endorse them in his campaign speeches.
He'd just start throwing sandwiches to people.
I was eating that by Jimmy John's.
You do realize there would be some people who would get a free Jimmy John's and go, you know, that Brock Lesnar guy isn't so bad, is he? I think I'm going to vote for that guy.
Oh my god, he'd show up at debates in a full suit but with MMA gloves on.
And Jimmy John's logo's on the back of the suit.
So Big Show versus Sheamus, who do you guys got?
Yes.
I actually think this is the best book match on the show. It's a story that's been developing for 2 months now, and it actually has Sheamus in the role of the face for once. Because throughout his entire tenure with Alberto Del Rio, I thought Sheamus was the ass in that feud.
He was.
So he was.
But here, you know, Big Show plays that cocky heel to it, you know, well, because he's 500 pounds, he's 7 feet tall, he should be able to say that to anybody, he can push you around.
It's not even just that, he's also in the role of calling out Sheamus on his bullshit, and saying, like, this is stupid, why are you even doing this? I'm Paul, I can kick your ass. Like, their match at Hell in a Cell was legitimately good, like, surprisingly so.
Yeah,
Sheamus can go. I mean, Sheamus is a very good wrestler, on top of being a very good big man. He's excellent in the ring. He just has again, it's kind of the whole John Cena thing you were talking about earlier, where John Cena clearly has a personality and they just want him to be Hulk Hogan. Sheamus clearly has a personality and clearly has the ability to be a top star without people writing for him, because he has the ability, he has the charisma, but they just make him be this terrible, asinine, juvenile
Yeah, that's...
They make him be John Cena.
Yeah, that's the comment. They can be two.
He's John Cena, but whiter somehow.
Oh, God.
Because, it's so weird what they do with him, because he has phenomenal matches. They tend to put him out there 20 minutes every Raw, and he's the difference. I mean, granted, yes, he's fighting Ziggy, he's fighting Miz, he's fighting, you know, people who can... Well, Miz is so in the ring to me, but he's fighting people who can wrestle, and he's fighting people who can go, and his match with Big Show was probably the best one at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, he got a really good big man match, he and Mark Henry. Like, I have never enjoyed a Mark Henry match in my life until he and Mark Henry did that big man match a while ago, which was just like, okay, I'll fight him. So the guy
can... Henry turned it around entirely and was, like, awesome from then on. Oh, man, I want him to come back.
What? Is he still injured?
He's been on his way back.
Apparently he's close to coming back at this point.
He's fixed. It's just healing and timing and how do they want to bring him in. And I'm sure they won't. I mean... I'm sure they'll bring him in, probably, I would say Royal Rumble will probably be the time they'll probably bring him back and possibly put him against Big Show for the title, maybe as a face, but who knows.
I wonder if he's ready now, because I could see him somehow coming back during this match.
I don't see Big Show holding the title past Survivor Series. I was expecting them to have Ziggler cash in at Survivor Series with the whole Cena stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they changed their mind with that.
I've heard that Ziggler will be cashing in and feuding with Orton pretty soon.
That's the problem with Ziggler, again, is that they have him with this SmackDown title contract, and everyone who he's feuded with of any substance is on Raw.
Yeah.
So he has no business even having that briefcase because he's with Vicky, who's the interim GM, whatever, manager of Raw.
Managing supervisor.
Like, he's leading a team of people that were formed on Raw. He's feuding big time with John Cena, who's obviously a Raw person, but he has this SmackDown belt thing, and you have no way of shoehorning him into it. It's almost like him taking the World Heavyweight title at this point would be a demotion from what he's doing.
What's even crazier, if you look at the team, they're all SmackDown wrestlers.
Yeah.
The bigger Rhodes Scholars, Barrett, and Del Rio, they're all SmackDown brand, supposedly. And then everyone on Team Foley, other than Randy Orton, is Raw.
The brands just don't matter at this point.
Are Daniel Bryan and Kane SmackDown? I think
they're Raw. I think they're considered Raw.
Yeah, they're Raw.
They're SmackDown. I don't think Daniel Bryan has moved over yet, has he? I mean, granted, it's not a big deal, but because he was the world champion at the start of the year, I assume he was a SmackDown superstar. But yeah, it's really just a one-way deal because you can appear on Raw anytime you want. Just Raw superstars don't study themselves with appearing on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is that Raw is now a super show all the time.
Yeah,
so there really is no such thing as there's like non-Raw wrestlers because like obviously CM Punk doesn't really show up on SmackDown and neither does John Cena for any real reason, although sometimes they do. But realistically, like... I think, and obviously you got Michael Cole who's doing commentary for every single event.
I don't think he's SmackDown anymore.
Like I think SmackDown is just an excuse to not have their top two guys wrestling all the time.
Yeah, it's for tour purposes, I believe, because then they could split up a Raw and SmackDown tours.
Yeah, that they still do, but. Yeah. The actual TV, it's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
And, I wanted to touch on this, and I feel bad for saying this, but I really wish the King didn't come back. Like, the commentary took a nosedive once JR got off the mic.
Yeah, it
did. Yeah.
And also the whole thing, like, it's so weird, like, first half of the show is like, Ross is cool, okay, and then Jerry comes back, and it's like,
I don't like it.
Yeah,
getting back to something earlier, we were talking about setting up Ziggler versus Orton. Who's the face in that? Because I've heard Randy like really wants to turn heel,
dying,
Randy
like actually complaining about
to turn heel.
In wrestling history, it tends that most people tend to prefer being in a heel because you got a lot more flexibility, you tend to have a lot more fun.
Yeah, but the thing is that Ziggler's right on that like weird line where people want to cheer for him, but because he's associated with Vicky. They can't. Like, he's got that Shawn Michaels thing going where, like, he's kind of a dick, but everyone likes him. But then Vicky shows up and it's just automatic booze.
Well, I mean, they could
do that. He's already said that she's his former manager.
Yeah. She still shows up and is, like, doing stuff with him. That's why it's, like, weird.
Yeah. I mean, if they really wanted to do that quickly, they could just have him, like, have Sheamus attack Big Show at Survivor Series, have him cash in on Big Show, and then come out on Raw and just kind of dump Vicky in public.
Yeah. But they could just do what they did with Miz and be like, all right, he's hanging out with these guys now. He's a good guy.
I was going to say that Miz just kind of, it was hinted at. They've been wanting to turn him face for a while, but he's just like, yeah, I'm a good guy now. Mm-hmm.
And I hope he's for the audience to say more.
I hope he's still the douchebag, but he's just a douchebag who fights bad people instead of people.
That's basically sounds like where it's headed, because they've said his whole I'm awesome thing is so over. They don't want to, like, take that away.
Yeah.
Also, you can't get rid of the giant inflatable letters.
No, you can't.
It's one of those things. That's one of the things I always hate when they switch people over. It's like they take away that thing that actually made people like them, because you have to be like, you have to be this type of heel, you have to be this type of face, and if you do anything that can be questionable, it's removed from you for the most part. It's the same, you know, when Cena turned face, they kind of had him stop doing the raps and stuff, and then he started doing promos normally, and people like got bored of him quickly. Or
oh, wait. Can I bring up one other thing that I've been disappointed in?
Go for it.
Oh, you won?
Well, one specific. I'm so glad that Wade Barrett is back, but they actually found a finisher worse than his old one.
I liked Wasteland. I know a lot of people didn't. I liked Wasteland. It looked like it actually hurt.
Yeah, like, and this punch thing is just like...
Yeah. It's not even a punch, it's a forearm. He sex shoots the 2012.
He hits him with the elbow. That's about it.
And they give it a fancy name.
They want to give them a souvenir. Like
when Cesaro is hitting people in midair, I mean, that I can buy. When Barrett's just like forearming a bitch.
And that's not even his finisher. Like, Cesaro's finisher is baller as hell.
Oh, yeah, the neutralizer.
Again, that's another match I actually think is going to be good, because Cesaro has been on the fucking roll. That dude is money.
I'm so glad that he's been getting the push. Yeah. I think he should be in a stable with Rhodes Scholar.
Oh, my God. Have Punk do some sort of, like, ROH type thing, like all people who came up through indies, and just have him, Cesaro, and, like, you know, bring up Ambrose. Oh, my God.
Turn Zack Ryder heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bro stuff and be like, no, I'm done doing this. I want to be taken seriously.
Well, the problem with Zack Ryder is, well, his personality got old fast, but he also has, like, two moves. He has the broski boot, and he has the rough ride, and that's really pretty much any match he's been in. It's just those two.
Don't you mean the broski boot and the flying dick to the face?
Yes.
You mean the best impersonation dying, of X-Pac?
The flying phallus.
Woo, 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 here's my dick.
Oh, could you call it the triple F, flying phallus to the face? Yes, I know phallus doesn't begin with an F. Go with it.
It's a WWE. You can make it up as you go.
You really can. Vince McMahon has proved that you can change an entire show halfway through the freaking episode.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's not working. Put John Cena in.
Now.
Follow Cranky Vince on Twitter.
Yes.
The fake Vince McMahon account. There's rumors that has to be somebody run by somebody who was close to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many, like, very specific things have gotten out on this Twitter.
Yeah.
That they basically said, yeah, no, this is somebody who actually knows what's going on.
Do you read everything he posts? Because, like, right after the election, like, all week, there was this long odyssey of him going out with a lesbian biker gang, and it was fantastic. From the election through Raw, it was Cranky Vince out with a lesbian biker gang discussing wrestling and the election. It was amazing.
But it was something about, you know, the lesbian bikers drove him to Raw with a foot on each bike and an American flag in a hand while Kid Rock was flaring.
Yeah, and there's, like, the fake Triple H, which is it's Huge Wolf Dick, the name of Twitter, which is somehow related.
Oh my god.
And it's
god.
Basically this guy complaining about Steph and Shane and how crazy cranky Vince is. Like, I can't, I don't know who's doing it, but it's fantastic comedy.
Yeah, I think they've also, they had it taken down for a bit because they said it was too close to that.
Yeah, it had to be labeled parody before they would let it back on. Same thing with, was it WWE Creative?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have that account, too.
But, yeah, so that's pretty great.
Yeah.
I forget who, what interview was, oh, you know what I was listening to? I was listening to, Colt Cabana was actually on Mark Maron WTF the other day, and he was talking about how Vince doesn't know anything pop culture related from like past the 1950s.
Yeah, I've heard that like, before.
Tried to explain to Vince his whole like character as Colt Cabana before, like when he came up as Scotty Goldman. Like explained to him like, yeah, it's alternative like comedy, like alternative comedy stuff, and he's like, oh, well, like Jackie Gleason, yeah, all right. So Vince's signifier for comedy is Jackie Gleason.
Well,
which
okay.
explains so much.
Do you guys remember there was a skit that ran like once back in the day, and it was the Blue Meanie and Stevie Richards.
Oh, God, the Blonde Bitch Project.
Yes, they were going to do this thing called the Blonde Bitch Project as a parody of the Blair Witch Project. They did one bit, and it actually involved the two of them fighting over one of the really awful Nintendo games, and they said something about, you're playing as Savio Vega, shut up. and they were going to tell you the story of the Blonde Bitch, and it ran, and it was hilarious. And then they just ended it because Vince didn't know what the Blair Witch Project was. He'd never heard of it, so he figured it would nobody would get it.
Yeah, I've heard that about his humor before, too. Like, it's, I've heard it's a bit more recent, like maybe late 90s, but he's like a decade out of step, which is why he needs people who aren't just, but I mean, the people he surrounds himself with are just as old and just as kind of set in their ways. Like, I can't imagine Triple H going out of his way to watch a 40-year virgin or something like that.
I wonder if Vince watched any of the movies, the WWE films he's put out.
He probably has, and he wouldn't continue making them.
I'm willing to bet the only movie he's seen over the past 10 years is G.I. Joe.
Oh my.
You know, I like to imagine that, like, Triple H was like, so, Dad, what did you think of my movie? You know, the one I was in?
You heard a movie? I don't care.
Yeah, you.
Who we got coming up this week? Who's John Cena fighting? No, I don't give a shit. Just put him in a match with someone. I don't care. More Coke.
Ah, cranky Vince.
Can I fire someone? I want to fire someone.
I think we've actually gone through the entire card at some point. Oh, we haven't Yeah, we have gone through the entire card at some point.
I somehow we have. I do not know how we have in the midst of our B-wise through wrestlers that have only appeared once, and Shockmaster, and by the way, go on YouTube, look up Shockmaster interviews sometime. It's fairly glorious to watch how they handled the aftermath of the Shockmaster tripping and falling. And Jesse Ventura's commentary is one of the funniest things you will ever listen to, of going, hope he can keep his balance.
I love Jesse Ventura. Both
he
in
awesome.
Reality, as a real person, and in the fake character that James Adomian plays as Jesse Ventura on various podcasts.
Oh,
you,
God.
If you guys don't listen to, look up Comedy Bang Bang or the Scarborough Country. Or Doug Loves Movies, because he shows up on those in character as Jesse Ventura, and it is funny as balls. Like, it's basically, like, outsized Jesse Ventura personality as a constant conspiracy theorist.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Speaking of other podcasts, we're talking this weekend, various from The Beak. We were talking, he said something about if wrestling were a cooking show, he'd watch.
Yes.
And I brought up that I actually own and I am holding my copy of Can You Take the Heat by Jim J.R. Ross and the WWF Superstars. from the year 2000? Because Various asked if this was going to appear on the podcast. So, gentlemen, mm-hmm. I need you to name your favorite wrestler who would have been around right about the year 2000. Or least favorite wrestler.
Wait, is he who shall not be named in there?
Naked Midian.
I don't think he is, no.
Naked Midian.
I don't mean Voldemort.
Naked no. Midian? I actually, where is it? Eddie Guerrero is in here.
What? This is Latino heat dish?
It is Eddie Guerrero's Mexican tortilla casserole.
Mmm. Is the Hurricane in there? I figured he would be.
No, I think that was after this was published. This
yeah,
was
Hurricane was like, in 2001?
That's the year after.
We've got Viscera's No Big Cookies.
It would be in there in 2000, because they debuted in January 31st, 2000.
Yeah, erratic booze.
Yeah. So, is there anything with Benoit? Oh.
Yes, grilled steak Benoit.
I was going to say, does it involve chicken and choking?
God.
Ouch.
That was just finished.
This is JR's intro. Chris Benoit is one of the healthiest eaters in the World Wrestling Federation, and his regular diet includes an ample amount of steak.
Oh.
If you've ever been at the Benoit home for a cookout, don't be surprised if this is your main course prepared by the Wolverine himself.
Oh my god. This is a poor decision of my life. I apologize to everyone. Okay, hold on. Esa Rios. Is there an Esa Rios?
Yes. Of course there's Esa Rios. Because he's got the coolest name ever. Esa Rios. Esa Rios is... beans and chicken soup El Grande.
I'm going to the cruiserweight division, the short-lived cruiserweight division, remembering, hey, that's right, there's all these people that were like WWE superstars for like a few minutes there. Is Taka Michinoku in there?
There's a Kayentai recipe, actually.
There would be a Kayentai.
Taki Choppy?
God, that was awful.
Choppy, your pee-pee.
Choppy, be sushi?
I don't think it's sushi. Is it?
I gotta see what Taka Michinoku has on the grill.
Did it add something for Mick Foley in there?
I know there is a Mick Foley in here.
Is there three Mick Foleys in there?
Is there a Gangrel?
Yes, Gangrel's deviled eggs.
Oh, that's I get it, joke.
Dean Martin goes beef stroganoff. Kayentai stir fry.
Oh, yay!
Is there, what's his face, Rikishi? Is it Frank Steak? Wow, best. There you go, Rumpress. Yeah.
What about Too Cool?
Too Cool's Homeboy Fries. Grandmaster Sex A's Sweet Potato Casserole.
Yes,
Scotty Too Hottie's Too Cool Orange Salad.
See, I would expect it to be fried worms.
Midian's Minestrone Soup.
Oh, God, they actually have Midian.
Not Naked Midian, but Midian.
What is The Rock cooking?
The Rock's famous Kung rock Pao bottom chicken. Pancakes.
He didn't do Kung Pao chicken just yet.
Is there anything
no,
to
he's
do
also got strudel? Chocolate chip cookies in here.
Not strudel? I'm disappointed.
Or pie.
Thank you, Earl, for saying it, because I didn't want to.
Oh, God, he's so there's so much food shit. Oh, my God. Guys, I just figured it out. The Rock is Ryback. Ryback is The Rock. Because The Rock always is talking about food, and Ryback is hungry.
So, like, Ryback is what The Rock turns into after midnight if you feed him?
No, it's more like a Super Saiyan transformation. Rock's power level goes over 9,000, and he becomes the Ryback.
Actually, I would love to see Ryback written the title and just strip off his face. It's really a mask. He's like, it was me, Austin! It was me all along!
My agent pulled a rock.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, I did it for me.
Oh, speaking of Rakishi, what happened to his sons?
They're still around.
One of them
was in a match last week.
Wait, I think one of his kids is actually opening a freaking restaurant in my area. I think I can't remember. I know they actually had a Where Are They Now of one of the wrestlers, and they're opening a Samoan barbecue joint in the area.
They're on Superstars and NXT quite often. Superstars more often than not. But
still one on that family.
Mark Henry's sexual chocolate cake.
I am no.
I thought it would be Mark Henry's hand battered chicken.
No, that's Mark Henry now.
Oh, no, but they have Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young's after dinner specialty coffees.
Oh! By the way, it was Rosie who's opening the barbecue joint in Cincinnati.
Oh,
Rosie.
Oh, superhero in training.
Rosie is one of his sons?
No, but
okay,
let's see. Because I know it's one of the fans, but I know one of Samoans was recently, mentioned in our paper because he's opening a freaking Samoan barbecue joint in Cincinnati. I'm like, what? That is just so random.
Perry Saturn Super Cookies.
Do they have an Undertaker recipe in there?
I'm sure they do. But just Perry Saturn Super Cookies, the ingredients are one box cake mix, any flavor, one egg, 1/2 cup oil.
That's it.
Those are Paris Island Super Cookies.
That's a recipe for success. That's right. What about Eddie Guerrero?
Yes,
this is an important part.
Eddie Guerrero's Mexican tortilla casserole.
Mm. Oh my!
I don't know if I quite like that.
Do you realize we have spent a few minutes on WWE cooking?
We spent like 10 minutes, yo.
We spent 10 minutes!
We could talk about Survivor Series again, but it's honestly...
Paul Bearer's tuna stuffed tomatoes.
There is someone going to be listening to this podcast going to go...
Listen, I'm going to tell you how in depth I really wanted to go into Survivor Series. I have the website I have open on my browser is Chikara's, so.
I understand completely. Like I said.
ChikaraPro.com, by King of Trios. It's one of the best wrestling things I've ever seen.
We kind of hinted at it at the start. Survivor Series has just kind of been a mess from a booking standpoint.
It's The Miz has turned face. That's cool.
It's kind of something that just happened.
It's we're hoping Cody Rhodes is okay, so we don't suddenly get Tenzai in a Survivor Series match.
If I'm not mistaken, The Miz turned face by saying he was too big to be on a 5-on-5
Survivor Series. Yeah, that was literally just suddenly Miz's face.
And then he's like, I want to be in this 5-on-5 Survivor Series match on the other team. I'm like, okay.
I'm holding out hope that there's going to be a surprise Ultramantis Black debut at the WWE.
That would be awesome. That would be great.
Ultramantis Black is actually my favorite wrestler, WWE and otherwise included. That dude.
Undertaker's
awesome.
Turkey and spinach tetrazzini.
That is terrible.
All we need is that one action book that WWE released. What was that book again, Ashley? You posted up on Twitter.
Oh God, Big Apple Takedown. I need to get a copy. I need to read this because it sounds like the worst thing ever.
I found that in a half price like twice at one point, and I really should have just bought that horrible thing.
I found like 5 copies used on Amazon for 99 cents.
Go for it.
I don't want to pay more for shipping than I'm paying for this book.
Wait, there's 2 books?
Oh no, they did 2 different cookbooks, but this was.
They have a book called Journey into Darkness, an Unauthorized History of Kane.
Yes, I remember that.
But the other one is Big Apple Takedown, and it is the WWE is actually a secret military group that Vince McMahon has put together, and it's like John Cena, Dave Bautista, Chavo Guerrero, I want to say.
What? Curtis White? It's a Guerrero that no one wants?
I think that's...
And Tori Wilson.
And
Tori Wilson.
Tori Wilson and Triple H rounded out the team with Vince McMahon as the leader.
They needed Ahmed. Well, no.
How did they find a team that was worse than the guys in the Expendables?
I don't know. Well, they got Nicolas Cage in the third movie. So
yeah, I saw that. I'm still standing by my statement because fuck Chuck Norris. But
I'm just looking for. They're supposed to do a girl, the women's Expendables, and I'm still not sure who all they'll be. But if there is any justice, Michelle Rodriguez will show up.
Gina Carano.
I know Gina Carano is like the anchor, so I'm really pumped about that. Who else did I want? Gina Torres, which I know that's not going to happen.
Bill Jovovich.
No, I don't think they're going to. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Mila Jovovich. I don't think we're going to see Angelina Jolie.
Oh, God.
Who else was I thinking of?
Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver is one of those ones I'd really love to see. And Pam Grier.
I would not put money on that. Pam Grier, I would not put money on Sigourney Weaver showing up.
And I forget who plays Sarah Connors in.
Linda Hamilton. She's probably desperate for cash. Yeah, she'll show up.
Yeah,
I wrote an article about that when the first Expendables came out. Because I think, we don't have many action films led by females. And it would be a nice thing to start off on. I wonder if, who did Haywire? Not Haywire.
Gina Carano was Haywire.
No, the other one. Saldana?
Narrow it down.
What's her name?
That's Saldana?
Yeah, that was Saldana.
Oh,
I think
Columbia.
She's probably a bit too big for that, too.
Well, she did Columbiana. I mean, she
did Star Trek too, yo.
Yeah, and Avatar.
And also Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Which they're coming out with a 5-minute sneak peek.
The first 9 minutes of the movie before they've ever released a trailer, which makes complete sense to me.
Is it going to be like Batman, where it's like 5 minutes and then a 4-minute trailer at the end?
I have no fucking clue. It's supposed to be. What's it supposed to be before? I don't remember. What about Chris Pine?
I don't really have anything to say. I just wanted to say Chris Pine.
Okay.
Chris Pine's going to be at Survivor Series.
He's going to be at Survivor Series.
He's the surprise fifth member of the heel team.
Chris Pine is Ryback.
The Ryback. Show some respect, please.
The Ryback.
I like to refer to him as The Ryback for some reason. I just think it's funny.
Matt Goldberg.
Well, it's like my decision to refer to Brad Maddox as simply hot referee.
Yeah.
I know he has a name, but I'm just gonna call him hot referee.
Illegitimate son of Eric Bischoff. Or is that just
God? I think that it's
a little unwieldy. I admit.
You know, it's weird when you realize that there's somehow some reason that Brad Maddox is a Triple H guy or. Some rumor going on around there. I'm like, he's supposed to be back in some other role in the future. I'm going, alrighty.
That was it for him?
The problem with Brad Maddox is that they didn't name him Mr. Punch.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome. Yeah. I would have liked
put Kick on his boots.
Punch, Kick.
Oh my God, they should repackage him as Kick Puncher.
Yes, but Vince won't watch Community for another 30 years.
Yes, so he'll think the idea is original.
You could repackage him and team him with Alex Riley and Mason Ryan, so he would be
the
interesting one in the group.
I thought Mason Ryan was hanging out with Jack Swagger on Mars.
I feel like Mason Ryan is Mars.
there was a match on Raw a couple of weeks ago. I think it was a big battle royal.
Yes.
No, it was on one of the pay-per-views. It's like, these people still work at this company?
There was
the lumberjack match.
Yeah, but we all like, wait, he's still there?
Yeah, because Snarking Out has a pie chart up of people's reactions. And about 96% of their reactions was, holy shit, Mason Ryan's still employed.
Yeah.
This is the most reblogs we've gotten on anything I have posted.
And Alex Riley still enjoyed it. He's another one who beat Miz, the former world champion, in that year.
Well, they need someone to pose for the mystery silhouette. That's why.
Well, you really keeps the job.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, since WrestleMania is actually in the tri-state area next year, are any of you planning on going?
Hell no. I'm not spending that much money on wrestling.
It's not that bad, actually.
I'm not spending that much money on wrestling.
Fair enough.
For me, the travel cost wouldn't be worth it.
With how much money it is, I could buy, like, two more songs in a studio if I wanted to. So,
My thing with WrestleMania is, if I'm going to do WrestleMania, I want, like, really fucking good seats for WrestleMania. Because that's going to be, like, once in a lifetime I can do this. Unless Wade Barrett and I fall in love and get married.
Yeah, and with the way things are going, you'll probably be stuck behind a pyramid or something.
Yeah.
So just have like four giant pyramids. The only people who can see the match are the ones who are right up on the ring.
And Triple H is seated inside one of those pyramids.
He would merge and reclaim his throne by defeating the entire WWE with one punch.
But he won't have punch written on his glove.
No, because Triple H is just Batman now. He just beats everyone because he knows what you're
doing. Triple H is the cerebral assassin.
What?
Triple H is the Jason Todd Batman.
Oh,
God.
He's the worst, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Even his, like, his talent decisions haven't really worked out. So let me just go down the list. Karma? How's it worked out? Not really his fault, but didn't work out. Sin Cara? I'd say it's a wash at this point.
I think it's improving now.
They put him in Rey Mysterio, so
yeah.
It's
a watch at this point. It's not bad or good.
It's rumored to be him and Mysterio next year at WrestleMania against each other.
Which they were supposed to do this year until
both of them got injured.
Yeah.
Damian Sandow is apparently a Triple H dude, which, you know, big ups to that. That dude's awesome. I don't think I've talked enough about how great Damian Sandow is on this podcast. So let's talk for another 5 minutes about how great Damian Sandow is.
I think anytime Damian Sandow isn't on screen, everybody else should just be standing around asking, "Where's Damian Sandow?"
They ask where Triple H is.
But that has a negative connotation to it. And I don't want anything negative going on with Damian Sandow.
Well, no, but I do. When they were doing the debate and everybody was sending in questions.
Yeah.
And the questions I kept sending were like, "Where the hell is Damian Sandow? Why isn't Damian Sandow in the ring?"
I forget what questions I were sending, but they were all very ridiculous.
My feed was so full of terrible, wonderful questions.
I think one of them was like about the semiotics of Lord of the Rings. I forget. But no, Damian Sandow is everything he does is awesome. From his ring work to like just the facial expressions, he's always just perfect on point. I've never seen that dude do something that I'm like, well, that's no. Even his promo work where they catch, he's like perfect. He's always in character. He's amazing.
He is. And he's very upset about not having Perry there in the back.
Yeah, very much so.
Can we start a petition now on this podcast to have a Damon Sandow versus Chris Nowinski main event at WrestleMania?
Oh my God. I would watch that over and over and over again.
That should be the Obama White House. I heard that's a thing you can do nowadays. That's going to work out very well for all involved. So let's do that.
I was okay with that until I saw that New York was one of the states that had a petition.
All you need is like five people to just be.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been really caught up in the post-election stuff more so than the election stuff, just because of the insane ramblings that have come out of that party. And I found out so much about myself because I'm a free-owed and Moochie doesn't want to work for AFN.
Yeah, I didn't accept myself either.
You think that's bad? I want people to pay for me to be a. I want the government to pay for me to be a whore.
So yeah, it's surprising how much people know about you when they don't meet you.
See,
I'm walking my way home a couple weeks ago, so fuck that guy.
I still love the fact that, you know, with the petitions, they're going to have to address a few of them, they've said, because they have enough signatures. I really just want their addressing to be Joe Biden hunting down the faces of the people that signed them. And like, posting you mad.
If that's one guy I could see actually showing up at a WWE event for some reason, any reason, even though they're notoriously Republican, he's super Democrat, I could see Joe Biden showing up and be like, no, I'll fight him.
I think
he's basically Sheamus as a politician without the racism. So
I felt like they went anti-Republican at the end because they kept on mocking Romney and stuff during commentary, especially JBL.
Well, they were trying to distance Lyndon from the Republicans because she was doing so poorly.
And that didn't help her at all.
No, it did not.
You mentioned the King coming back, but I would also mention that JBL is back, and he's awesome.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, that guy's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy when he showed up.
Yeah, and he's actually a true hill on the mic. And he's in the school with Bobby the Brain Heenan and Jesse Ventura. And it's something the King was never too good at. But you focus on praising the bad guy. You don't necessarily have to knock the good guy.
Yeah. But see, that he's not even just like necessarily like saying bad things about – he says good things about everyone, but he just clearly favors one over the other.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like with Michael Cole, it was like, oh my gosh, The Miz is so awesome.
Yeah, and he does his research. Like, this is apparently he got told to tone it down a bit, but I don't think he ever did, where he, like, looked up who the people were and what they'd done before. And they, like, finally brought up Eve's whole jiu-jitsu background, which they never friggin' touched before.
Yeah, he also mentioned, like, he tried to make Santino a legitimate thing, too. He's like, yeah, he has a martial arts background.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that JR used to bring to the table, and it's something that JBL brings to the table. He also brings something that we haven't had in a while. I mean, a King is like somebody who's actually was a recent wrestler, so mm-hmm. he has that background. Like, you always get to hear him talk about Rey Mysterio, because Rey Mysterio retired him twice and stuff like that. So he has a lot of respect for the guy, and it comes out in his commentary, but he still antagonizes him when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And when JR was back, and there was the one little bit that they did where he said something about, my grandma used to call me something. I don't even remember what it was, but it was like this adorable moment with JR on commentary. I'm like, this is what I want commentary to be all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, two guys call the matches, and then JR, just talk about when you were a kid.
Yeah, JR brings like this human... The thing with Cole and the King, it's like they're so like into each other. Like, they don't tell a story. Mm-hmm. It's just it drives me nuts because once somebody pointed it out, I can't unhear it. It's like when they do that, it'll snickering at anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like that muffled in the background. It drives me nuts because it's never anything funny. They're just like, oh, we have to have this. Let's do it. But
I'm still trying to figure out, like, that whole... I'm not shocked they did an angle out of the whole Jerry Lawler thing. I'm really not. It was weird when Jerry Lawler was calling it a mild heart attack on... And he was like, you died technically for a few minutes, man. It's like, but in Jerry Lawler's mind, if he didn't actually die, then he considers it a mild heart attack, considering he's from the school of wrestlers that have actually died in the ring, so...
Right.
And it's one of those things where you're going, you died. Okay, Jerry.
Well, and the thing is that people were complaining about, like, how dare they do an angle with this? And they're like, Jerry Lawler is the sort of guy who, you know,
would. Yeah, they're not going to do it without running it by him first.
Yeah, I mean, he did the same thing with his dead mother.
Yes, and it's because of the school of wrestling he's from, too. It's in Memphis, they would make an angle about this. They would do a giant angle on this crazy thing. And so he's like...
And it's actually made CM Punk look like a heel, finally.
Yeah.
Well, I think they've tried a lot of stuff to make CM Punk seem like a heel. It's just that it's one of those things where, like, when he's CM Punk...
It wasn't working.
Like, yeah, because you agree with him most of the time.
Yeah.
Why does John Cena keep on getting title shots?
And then when he came out and he you know, when Paul Heyman had that heart attack... It was like the most visceral heel reaction I've had in a while to anyone in wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Which, unfortunately, it doesn't matter how good Paul Heyman can fake that or how controversial it is. It cannot compare to Vicky Guerrero saying one word.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Anytime she opens her mouth, it's just like, oh, God. Even I love heel Punk. I can't stand it. Even though I see the point of her, but the entire time I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake, get her off the fucking screen.
Her heat last week on Raw was insane. It's hard to even hear her, and she has a microphone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and JR mentioned that, because he was like, you know, like, Vicky Guerrero, when we signed her, we didn't sign her, we signed Eddie Guerrero. and she was a mother and a wife, and she's like the top heel in the company right now. And you have superstars who like they can't get a break, and it's like she turned it around. Why can't you?
Yeah, it's like other people take a look at that. There you go.
I mean, on the bright side, she also had Edge, who was probably one of the top heels in the past decade to work with at first, so she learned a lot from him.
I would have liked to learn a lot from Edge.
We're talking
what?
About sex.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah,
I was. Oh.
Yes, you was.
But I think we can begin to wrap, because to be honest, you aren't going to talk about this pay-per-view that much.
Once you start talking about Edge's dick, I think we can back away from this.
Hey!
Good night,
everybody!
I just said I wanted to learn a lot from him. You were the guy who really...
You listen, take that just, as you will.
Send Beth Phoenix an email. And then
I would, yeah. I'd do that.
And then she could tell you about CM Punk, too.
We can have girl talk after the threesome. I'd totally be for that.
And it went there.
We should probably wrap now.
Hopefully you'll wrap before the threesome, but you know.
That's a good idea.
We're going to be rapping all night long. Oh, shit.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay. So.
Oh, Lord. Okay. People who are listening to this, yes. Free podcast. Then we all of us realize we really didn't give a shit about Survivor Series. We just said,
we
will talk about the Shockmaster and other random shit that popped in our heads.
Episode 114 of Nerds in the Rocks will be a 15-minute edited version of all the stuff that actually has to work the Survivor Series in it.
It's like
a
series. I think like 10 minutes.
That's pretty much deserved. It's like they got much more time on TV. So
if it would have had, if it actually would have had Dilda, we might have more to talk about. But we don't.
And you would think that Survivor Series is some small pay per view, but it's like their fourth. But it is their fourth biggest, and it's their second longest running pay per view.
Mm-hmm. For goodness sake, if they're more than likely going to have. So freaking more like I have The Rock set up on this one to set up the potential Royal Rumble match. And it's going to be like, man, they better hope people like buy into this build up that they actually have, and on the hope that, oh, The Rock might show up as a surprise. Like, there's really, oh Lord have mercy. Can we talk about the WWE cookbook again?
We could probably talk about it next week.
Ross's barbecue chicken pizza.
I wouldn't trust anybody who was nicknamed Puke to cook for me.
As he is so lucky,
I have so many things I want to say about that, but I'm not going to because they would all be very, very mean.
I just said he was lovingly documented about it in Beyond the Mat, so that's not so bad.
Oh, shit, I forgot this was in here. What? Big Boss Man's pepper steak.
Oh, that's evil.
For those of you who don't know, that was okay, part of one of the worst angles that led into the worst ever.
We got it.
And then a very bad angle after that.
Oh,
dogs humping. Dogs humped on pay-per-view.
Oh,
but yeah, I think the dogs that were at a good place to end it. So yes,
from Macho Man to Doctor Who to Edge's penis to dogs humping, Nerd on the Rocks, everybody.
And we're out.
You
know, we'll see you next week.
Let's talk about the GWF. That's where we got the Patriot. So.
ChikaraPro.com.
Snarking out.
I snarked out
on Twitter.
I bought tickets to my friend Scary Gary's show Tribute Championship Wrestling. It's on December 15th. God, it'll more than likely be 10 times better than Survivor Series at this point.
Survivor Series can be an interesting train wreck.
It could be good. That's the thing. It's like,
it could be good. Could
some matches. It could be a good pay per view. It's just the build up's been shit.
Yeah, the WWE tend they have a reputation. They can put out a good card, good matches. It's just like, you know, like when it's once every month, it kind of gets hard to follow them.
It's like, this is one of those things where I always would love to have a return to the sort of like actual like not having to have the month pay per views.
It wasn't much better back then either. I think
it really wasn't, but it didn't actually help.
It's like people always say how great the attitude era was. The same thing. You'd have one match, and then everything else would be booked the week of the pay per view.
But the attitude era, you could show boobs.
Well, you also saw
May
Young boobs.
It was accepted as part of the insanity of the attitude era because they were trying to. They were trying to slaughter the hell out of WCW during that period, but
that's not how they would tell it though, because they didn't care about the ratings. They were always in it for themselves, and they wanted to. You know, they were the poor victims who were being bullied by Ted Turner and his pocketbook, and the WWE was this wholesome family company that just stood its ground. Like they say, history's told by the winners, so the WWE gets to paint themselves.
You know, it's weird in WWE 13 when you see the Vince Fierce WCW signs and all the random flavor things they put in for the Attitude Era, you're going, wow! That's spectacular.
The Attitude Era could show boobs, but as a counterpoint, the Attitude Era could also show X-Pac.
Yeah.
Well, saw him really? In PG, and he doesn't. Actually, is anybody picking up that DVD next week?
No.
I'll watch it eventually, at some point.
I'll wait until it's on Netflix in a month.
I'll watch the documentary, but I don't really care about the actual, like. The...
I will get it somehow through means.
Through ways.
I was reading the breakdown of the special features, and one of the Best Buy special features was awful, and I cannot remember which match it was. I don't think it was Kennel from Hell, but it was something along the lines of Kennel from Hell.
It was the live sex show. Or was that post-Attitude Era?
That's post-Attitude.
That was post-Attitude.
Attitude, and,
2006.
2005, 2006, and you know what? At least that had Alina Nip slip.
That was actually his most DDR moment of the last decade.
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, now we're going again. So yeah,
it keeps going.
Well, I'm going now. You fucking continue talking. I don't think this is where you just like it's like 75% random nonsense, 5% Survivor Series, 20% old school wrestling.
Talk about other wrestling federations that week, probably.
Hey, everybody. Why don't you go to nerdsontherocks.com and check out my column, The A to Z of Geek Cinema. Heard about In the Loop this week. It's a good one. And while you're at it, go to stabcast.com and read the 8 million reviews I do every week.
And you also get to check out our awesome Twilight team.
Hey, Earl, you mind if I do a quick plug?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Because if you want to read more of my stuff, I do stuff for comicscrux.com. I do reviews, news, columns, and it's also a really cool social network for comics. Check it out.
Oh, one more thing. Go to howIbecameInvisible.com. You can download my newest single for free. It's free. Did I mention it's free? It's free.
Snarking Out on Twitter and snarkingout.tumblr.com, where we don't post as much, but Mondays and the Fridays that I'm watching and usually pay-per-view nights, I do live commentary on Snarking Out on Twitter, and occasionally it's humorous.
And also, I love the commentary. So
yeah, I love that you're doing what we all do, but you've branded it, so it's actually better somehow. I'm not joking. I'm serious. That does make it somehow better.
It's really great stuff. That's why I don't just watch the show and I just go, I'll let Ashley's got this.
There's some things I'm like, I have nothing to say about this. And
yeah, Ashley's got this. I'm like,
you always got something to say.
She's got this.
Oh, there it is. There's one of the thing I couldn't remember. Looks like if you get the Best Buy exclusive of the Attitude Era DVD, you get footage of Mae Young giving birth on Blu-ray.
Woo!
I wonder if they're going to have the follow-up where her son's, like, 18 now.
Yay!
That was awesome.
Okay, we'll catch you next week.
Later, y'all. Later.
Ooh, yeah!